Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having our walk through our usual podcasting route in the hills today. It's extremely wet underfoot. We've actually just walked up a stream practically to get here, so you might find that our footsteps are a lot more squishy than normal because I see ahead of us some quite large puddles that we're going to have to walk over as we're doing this. So this is the next episode in our Interesting Times series, and we wanted to talk about the Tories' recent disaster regarding the A-level results, and particularly looking at the silver lining to this. Although this is a absolutely awful and life-ruining event, even though the government has done a U-turn on this, it's still going to cause a lot of harm. So that acknowledged, I feel that the protests, particularly by the students themselves, has actually been a very empowering moment for these young adults. They've learned some really important things, and something that a moment and experience that's going to stay in their memory probably all of their life, and might change their future decisions about how much shit they're going to take off the government in the future, particularly as they protested and they won. All right then, so let's just start off by describing what actually happened for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure everybody knows by now, but for anyone who's a bit hazy on the detail, the government didn't allow the students to sit the exams during the pandemic. It could have actually been orchestrated in a safe way. I'm sure if they'd put some effort into it, they could have come up with a very good plan that would have allowed the exams to go ahead. So instead, what they decided to do was allow the exam results to be designated by an algorithm, which I think there was always concerns about how effective and accurate it was going to be, and there's some speculation about whether it was actually designed specifically to give young adults in more deprived areas extremely poor results, much worse than they would have got had they sat the exams, and also at the same time making sure that young adults from Eton and other private schools got the best results ever.
Yeah, and therefore the university places, the choice.
Absolutely, yeah.
Elite university places. For our international listeners, the system in the UK is that slightly different in Scotland and Wales, but you know, it's basically the same system, that 17, 18 year olds sit exams, usually in three or four subjects, and on the basis of the results in those exams, university places are allocated. But students actually apply for university before they take the exam. A prediction is made by their teachers as to the results that they'll get, which is forwarded to the university, and the student is generally interviewed as well. And then if they get the grades, they get the place. So that's the kind of system that they've got here. But it is about allocating university places. And the exam is called A-level, it's advanced level, GCSE. There's also an AS level. I'm not quite sure what that is. I think it's a bit more specialised, slightly more advanced. Anyway, it boils down to an examination system that allocates university places, and there's a hierarchy of perceived value in UK at universities, with Oxford and Cambridge being thought the most valuable, and then there's a few kind of that follow hard on: Durham, Bristol, London Imperial, whatever, and then there's the Russell Group universities, which are sort of older universities, founded in the 19th century, and then there's the scumbag colleges, which were once polytechnics and technical colleges.
So yes, the vital part of all of this is that many students who were predicted to be getting very excellent grades and had already been accepted into the universities of their choice now had failed, some of them, or got extremely low marks. I mean, the amount they had been downgraded was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really was a true and total disaster. It couldn't have been worse, almost.
Yeah. But the crucial point about this, or another crucial point about this, is that it operated along lines of privilege and class.
Yeah.
Because
which is very much in line with the Tory values, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They believe that it's fine.
That's why I think that, you know, this could have been maybe engineered to actually let this happen and just see if they could get away with it, which it turns out they couldn't get away with it, but they had a go.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the bit of the algorithm, and I think it's fairly important to understand this, is that they would look at a school and look at the school's performance over the last few years and attempt to reproduce that profile, but to reproduce its shape or its structure through the grades that they awarded. Now, public schools, which in the UK are private schools, fee-paying schools, are very small classes, top teachers, loads of extracurricular, loads of coaching in exam technique and all the rest of it, and because of the small size of the classes, they were deemed not to fall under the algorithm, because you might have like three kids doing Latin at a £30,000-£40,000 a year public school. That's too small a cohort for it to be statistically significant. So their grades were the teachers' predictions. They weren't subjected to the algorithm. But if you were doing computer science in a comprehensive with 2,000 kids from sinky states, and your results were being determined by how the school itself had performed over the last 2 or 3 years, you were going to get downgraded, and you were being downgraded on the basis of postcode, basically. And so there was a lot of disappointment and a lot of anger and a lot of angry parents.
A lot of heartbroken students.
Yeah, I mean, the kids think they were going to go and do medicine at Cambridge, the opportunity of a lifetime. Couldn't even go to university at all, because the algorithm had downgraded their teacher estimates 3 or 4... I don't know, 2 grades per subject or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absurd. I think it was producing loads and loads of real anomalies. Those students were going to do well. Now, the Tories have a fear, and it would play to their base, not to use the teachers' predictions, because they've got this moral panic going about, what, say, grade inflation. And grade inflation is where the teachers are overestimating what the students are going to get. It's their students. Maybe there is a built-in bias there, but they've really run with this, the Tories, because grades have gone up over the years, and they're saying it's grade inflation, and it's really some kind of a fiddle. You know, it's more to do with the wishful fulfillment fantasies of examiners than it is to do with the abilities of children, and their base. They're kind of mean-spirited base who think that education has to be a form of torture really sort of bang a drum about this, and this is why they kind of doubled down. Now, you'll probably remember on Thursday last week, it's now Monday, what is it, Tuesday, it's now Tuesday, Thursday last week, so a few days ago, the Minister of Education, Gavin Williamson.
He's probably the most hated man in Britain right now.
He really is, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a dimwit. In my honest opinion, Your Honour.
I
don't personally rate his abilities or his intelligence, having heard him speak. And
a fine example of somebody who was over promoted beyond their abilities.
Well, this is part of the reason why They cock up at every turn, which is what we're going to say in a minute. Anyway, Williamson goes on the radio and the TV and in the papers and says, no, we're satisfied. It's a good algorithm. And we're not going to back down. By this time, the Scottish government, the devolved Scottish government, had apologised to the public.
Yeah, Nicola Sturgeon herself, Boris is nowhere to be seen in any of this, but Nicola Sturgeon herself apologised to the students, and they did a U-turn, and she acknowledged that it was unfair.
And that they decided they would award grades on the teachers' estimates of what the students would have got anyway. So Northern Ireland followed quickly, and I think the Welsh government sort of thought, oh well, yeah, we've got to kind of go. But
So by this time, with Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales all backing down, England is left on its own, waving the flag of stupidity and unfairness for all they're worth, and it's getting smaller and smaller, and then looking worse and worse and worse. And then
4 o'clock yesterday,
yeah,
we even know what time it happened. A bureaucrat from Ofqual goes on the radio and the telly and press conference and all this of it, saying that they're going to remove the algorithm. Ofqual is the kind of quasi-governmental organisation that oversees standards in examinations and qualifications and so forth, and they are a pain in the arse. I've had a few dealings with them. Fucking hell, you know. But never mind. The point being, in Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister, stands up and apologises. In England, a bureaucrat from Ofqual comes and announces it, that they've backed down. Gavin Williamson doesn't come forward and say we've backed down. Johnson's nowhere to be seen. He's gone on holiday again, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he in Barbados? Well,
he's probably hiding in a fridge somewhere.
Yeah, so...
He just doesn't give a shit.
The long and short of it, it's looking bad.
Yeah.
Now, the conclusion I draw, we draw some conclusions about this, don't we? I mean, one is the government once again demonstrates its utter incapacity for organising fucking anything.
Yeah.
You know, they go from disaster to disaster because they're incompetent. Now, I don't know what you think about that. Well, I do know what you think about that. You think, well, that incompetence being too polite.
Yeah. Well, it is incompetent, but, you know, it's in the back of my mind whether it was by design, just to see if they could get away with it. And the most important part of the podcast to me is the students themselves, the 18-year-olds themselves, who went and demonstrated against this injustice. And
were
demonstrating in London, were they outside the Houses of Parliament?
They were in Parliament Square, yeah.
Parliament Square, chanting Boris Johnson is a wanker. As loud as they could.
To the tune of Oh Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah. Just to superb kind of like drive the dagger in a bit further.
Yeah.
And I think they're just, it was just really heartwarming to see it, because they were just the bravery and the guts to go and like call the Prime Minister a wanker over and over again at the top of their voices in big crowds. And what I'm looking at these students and I'm thinking, what an amazing, empowering moment that is for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be something they'll always remember. And the thing is, they went and did that.
And the government backed down.
Yeah, I mean, so this is the, like, it's something. I mean, just imagine how. I mean, it's still a terrible thing that happened to them, but how elated they'd feel in that moment when they were doing that, and then they won. You know, does this set a bit of a slightly different course in their lives?
Yeah.
Where they might make different decisions. They're like, hey, look, we don't have to take the shit that the government's dealing out. Yeah. We don't have to have the shitty life that they want us to have.
Yeah.
We can make a difference.
Yeah.
Are we going to become a different society? Maybe being a bit more like the French or some kind of thing. Are the Tories turning us into the French?
Well, I hope so.
Where we're going to now have a culture of demonstrations and revolutionary change. Because we'll just be forced into it by the Tories.
Yeah. Well, I was sort of saying last week, you know, about events in Lebanon, that the mass demonstrations in Beirut, and the entire government resigned. Okay, it was on the back of this disastrous explosion, absolute catastrophe. But nevertheless, the government resigned. You think, well, it can be done. People power can, you know, can make things happen. And this Johnson government seems to me to be so kind of flimsy. Mainly, well, they flip-flop all over the place. They've got no convictions. He's particularly, you know, remember, he wrote two articles, one pro-Brexit and one against Brexit, and then sort of thought
he'd... Just decided on the day, didn't yeah. he, which one he fancied the most.
He's an opportunist. He blows with the wind.
Yeah.
And they are quite flimsy. They got pushed on that. Now, I think we have to be a bit careful of saying it's all down to the students. The teachers' unions have been very, very strong, I think.
Yeah, oh, and also on the press were very much on their side.
Yeah.
I mean, there was excellent press coverage yeah. of the students' demonstrations from, yeah. like, all, like nearly all quarters of the media, yeah. like, with very positive coverage.
Yeah. yeah. Well, it's not when we get hysterical and carried away, and of course we want, we want people power to fucking push governments, the corrupt governments we've got all over the planet, to push them over, of course we do. But nevertheless, it's not nothing.
No.
It isn't nothing.
It's a win. It is a win.
It's a win, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those kids, I mean, it's just heartwarming, you know. I love it. You know, and it was full of art, you know, and celebratory and energy. They've got the energy, these Zoomers, to do it.
Yeah.
If they want to. I mean, depressing at the same side, our cultural demonstration, there's a lot of idiots in Birmingham demonstrating against masks.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, I mean, somebody here got in the shop window, no masks. No
social distancing
no more lockdown, you know, and there's a movement to free Britain or something, or freedom oh. Britain or something. It's right wing. I've seen them. They appear on mines with all the other kind of right wing trolls.
Yeah,
and it's idiotic. So you know, by the same token, we have to bear in mind that some forces of reaction will take up this cultural movement as well, and they'll imitate. An attempt to imitate the successes, but this was a real bit of grassroots. There's no astroturf in there. And they were just fucking angry, and they went there.
Yeah.
And the chant for the 21st century, somebody called it, and then was it.
You know, fuck the algorithm.
Fuck the algorithm. Oh man, it's like I was yeah. I was laughing with delight.
Yeah.
Anyway, it shows something can be done, and yeah. let it empower everybody.
Yeah, and it shows that the you know, those students, they're passionate about their life.
Of course they are.
And that's a great thing to see, because there's such a lot of apathy.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that's just the way it is, and you yeah. know, mustn't grumble.
I know.
You know, and I don't think we should be the mustn't grumble nation anymore.
No.
So we should be, let's make a fucking change nation.
Yeah. So I think, kind of summarising, there's a couple of things. One, the government's incompetent, and once again we have another example of it, an absolutely stark example. It's blinding. They're completely naked in the spotlight, you know?
Yeah, and for once they weren't able to destroy people's life by stealth.
No.
And that was one of the great things about this as well. It was very much all at once in your face.
Yeah, great.
Because they do such a lot of damage by stealth, like... arguably far worse than what they've done yeah. with the A-level results.
Yeah.
And they just get away with it because
yeah.
it's slow and people don't notice.
Yeah.
And selling off the NHS.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, they've been doing it for 40 years.
Yeah.
It's a slice at a time, you know. A micron at a time. But the second thing is that people power is showing that it can do stuff. And the younger generation, particularly the Zoomers or whatever they're called, they're a fine bunch. They're getting radicalised, and there'll be other things come along and radicalise them further, you know, as a generation. So there's it was a sublime moment. Of course, yeah. there's the day after, of course, as we keep saying. Yeah. We have the sublime moment, now what? But it shows. I mean, we've had a few examples recently. God knows what's going to happen in Belarus, you know.
Yeah.
But there are examples, and this is a fine one.
And the Tories have just been beaten by teenagers.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it kind of shows that how flimsy they are.
Yeah.
You can kind of think that they're all powerful. I mean, technically Johnson is with his draconian powers. And I understand anti-maskers having a deep disquiet about the draconian powers that the government have got. We expressed that the minute the lockdown came. But it doesn't mean to say...
Wearing a mask is a bad thing, for heaven's sake.
Wearing a mask is a bad thing. And anyway, that's just the thing. So I think there's two main kind of points. Williamson was on the news this morning on the Radio 4 Today programme. And to be fair to the interviewer, they did press him quite hard. Why don't you resign? Why don't you resign? He says, my focus is on getting fairness for these young people.
What a lying bastard.
I know, but he wouldn't answer. He should resign. And, you know, the thing that comes out is the absolutely the unfairness, you know. It was loaded in favour of the already privileged and against those who lack basic advantages in life.
And also it made the students very aware of it. Like, yeah, it really kind of showed it.
It was really stark. Yeah. I mean, there was one example the other morning on the ride. There was a young woman. She was expected to get like 3 top grades or 4 top grades. Got a place somewhere, I don't know, Cambridge, Oxford. I don't know, somewhere of that ilk, you know. Elite university to do medicine. So that's a lifetime's kind of career of prosperity and meaningful work. Very ambitious. But from a deprived area, let's not downplay the hard work that these schools do, but they do under far more difficult conditions than the teachers have to work with. It's Eton and Harrow and Stowe and all the rest of it, Marlborough. But the school, you know, its grades weren't up there on average, so she was downgraded 2 or 3 grades. And there's no doubt that this young woman would have got in and would have had this career in medicine. It was now like nothing, couldn't get a uni place at all. And she was being interviewed on the radio, very articulate, obviously highly intelligent, and saying it was the unfairness that got her, you know, the actual, you know. She was aware of the differential and the way all this affected people from different socio-economic classes in different ways. And then the irony was, which the presenter, she didn't say this herself, the presenter said after this young woman, was a member of the Youth Parliament. We have a Youth Parliament in Britain. And as a Conservative. And you could hear the kind of like class consciousness dawning as she was talking, this kid, you know. I thought, oh, it's okay, you know, it's right, this is the way the world is, and capitalism's great, and blah, blah, blah. You could say she'd got a boy, I think 17 or 18 years old. And then suddenly, something hits her. You know, she's like a bright working class kid suddenly realising, oh, actually, it isn't very fair. You could hear it, you could hear it dawning. Anyway, so I think that's a big thing that we have to underscore, the unfairness, the injustice. But it casts a spotlight on the education system anyway. That all these injustices and unfairnesses are already present in the way we organise education in this country, along class lines, along wealth lines. And the whole thing, to my mind, throws up a deeper question, the question of the nature of education itself. What's it for? Who's it for? How is it best conducted once we know what it's for? Now, we're not going to go into that here now, because this is just a little bit of a rant and a rave about current affairs. But at some future date, I think it's something we'll have to deal with more thoroughly in our podcasts. Okay, I think that's it. What do you reckon, Anna?
Yeah, I think just the actions of these students and these young adults has definitely made me feel more positive about the future.
Yeah, me too. It's heartwarming.
Yeah.
God bless them.
Yeah.
If there was a God. It's heartwarming.
Yeah. Well done to you all. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I star for protesting.
Absolutely, yeah. Top grades for you all.
Yeah.
All right then, I hope everyone found that interesting and we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, bye-bye. Lots of love. Wash your hands. Tarawan, we'll love. What did you say? Make knowledge great again. Make knowledge great again. Maybe that's the educational theme. Make knowledge great again.
Yeah.